Now, with a general election on the horizon, Fenton Babelwick has the chance to represent his constituents in Parliament as Babelwicks have been doing for centuries. Only the rakish Thomas Berridge, confirmed gambler and general desperado, stands between Fenton and a glamorous political career.
We present Babelwick Hall by Scott Cherry, starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson.
Now, come on, all of you, come on. If you could all gather.
Yes, quite.
Right. I have here a register of your names. Now, Jack Duff, groom.
Here.
Barney Tucker, gardener and yard boy.
Here.
George Huggett, farmer. George Huggett?
He's not here, Squire. He's up to see the magistrate.
Why?
For stealing a potato.
He'll be late.
Very. They're hanging him this afternoon.
Oh. Well, where's everyone else? They can't all be seeing the magistrate.
They're busy working.
I don't want them to work. Not today. That's the whole point. How on earth am I going to make Babelwick Hall a centre for social change among the labouring classes if nobody attends? Look, listen to me, both of you.
Yes, yes.
You must understand, I am a visionary.
Yes, Squire.
You see before you a lord and master intent on improving your miserable existence.
How are you going to do that then, Squire?
Why do you think I'm holding these? Mm. Has anyone any idea what they are?
Mm? Pieces of wood.
More than just pieces of wood.
Pieces of willow.
Say, if either of you have ever heard of the game of cricket. You've never heard of cricket.
Is that where two gentlemen run up and down trying to avoid each other?
Don't they play it down London way? Mm.
Particularly in Kent.
Oh, no. We're not playing cricket up here, Squire. We're Yorkshiremen.
Yes, you are. Now, take these two sticks, Jack.
What?
They're called the stumps. Oh. Knock them into the ground. Barney?
Squire?
Catch.
Ow.
That's the ball.
It's hurt me hand.
You must throw it round arm at Jack.
Would it hurt me hand, Squire?
Jack, when Barney throws the ball at you, hit it with the bat.
You what?
Excuse me, sir.
Ready, Barney?
I suppose so. Excuse me.
Yes?
Are you Fenton Babelwick?
I am.
Your manservant told me you'd be here.
Right, Jack. I'm chucking it now.
Careful! Barney!
I said throw it at the stumps, not his head.
Sorry.
You will be.
Good God, man. Don't tell me you're teaching the rabble to play a cricket.
Keep still.
Oh, I'm going to kill you, Barney.
It weren't my fault.
If you don't keep your head still, I can't hold the wet cloth on.
Don't give it here, I'll do it.
Where on earth's the squire? I've been waiting in his chamber for at least an hour.
He went to the alehouse.
What?
Well, you could have told me.
We were on the village green playing at cricket.
Cricket?
And this gentleman rode up and took him to Drives Inn.
And offered him dinner.
But he can't eat there. I'm cooking him tripe and cabbage, look.
And I've just poured his bath. It's the first of the month. The squire always takes his bath on the first of the month.
Well, I'm sorry, but he's gone to the alehouse.
There you are, gentlemen.
Oh, this looks excellent, Mr. Dribb.
That's the rabbits in onions. Mm. There's your pigeon pie, asparagus, mushrooms.
Yes, yes.
Veal with a high sauce, butter pudding.
Landlord.
Peas and turnips.
Landlord, do we look blind?
Sir?
We don't need you to tell us which are the peas and which are the turnips. We can see perfectly well for ourselves.
Oh, yes, of course, sir.
So please, just leave us to get on with our meal.
I just wanted to say how honoured I am to have Mr. Babelwick and a gentleman of your standing in my humble little alehouse.
Thank you, Mr. Drew.
And if there's anything I can oblige you with, I will move heaven and earth. I am not touched to have customers of quality and rank. I feel like throwing myself on the boards and kissing your heels, I really do.
Landlord.
I feel like offering you my daughter to ravage and abuse. I feel like laying down my...
Landlord, cease your flatteries and leave us in peace.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll away then. And read a little Milton. Thank you.
There's one thing I can't stand, Mr. Babelwick. Hmm? It's the way the lower classes mean a sort of grovel.
Oh, Madeira?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you've said you're my neighbour. You invited me to dine, but have yet to tell me who you are.
Well, my name, Mr. Babelwick. Hmm. My name is George Berridge.
George Berridge, you say?
Correct.
As in Henry Berridge. The renowned Earl of Angham.
The Earl of Angham, Mr. Babelwick, is my father.
Excuse me. Oh, let me stand. I am so sorry. So sorry.
Mr. Babel.
I have no idea I was in the company of a man of such rank. You must forgive me, sir, if I've indulged in any familiarity. Sir, allow me at least to kneel at your feet and kiss your hand.
Sake, man, you're worse than a lamb. Mr. Babel, will you kindly sit in your chair and listen to what I have to say?
Yes, of course, I'm sorry.
I'll to the core of the matter. I have, sir, an overbearing desire to escape back to London. But my father, the great and illustrious Earl of Angham, won't hear it.
Oh, why have not?
Because he's an oaf, Mr. Babelwick. He's a tyrant. And staying here where dogs have more sense than men sent him quite mad. I can't tell you how I hate living in the country. It's like being buried alive. Why is it that as soon as one gets north of Derby, the people start resembling so many two-legged sheep?
Well,
in the 2 years... Now, this will appall you, sir. This, I warrant, will both disgust and offend.
What?
In the 2 years that I've had to live in this insufferable county, do you realize that in all that time, I've had only the one game of cards?
Oh.
That was merely a quick game of snap with a bumpkin squire who laughed like a lunatic every time he made a winning shout. Sir, my father has forbidden me all hazards. Cards, races, he's even, sir, confiscated my little African dice.
But why?
But for the same reason he's withdrawn my allowance and forbidden me to return to London. Because I can't keep away from the gaming table. I am, sir, addicted to all games of cunning and chance. Oh, the last time I was in our capital,
yes,
I was in my club, Bootles.
Oh, yes.
I had a little too much brandy. I was sitting with my friend Jack Frolic, taking snuff. At least I think it was snuff. And I could hear in the room above the sharpers playing at Farno. I couldn't control myself, Mr. Babelwick. I ran upstairs, threw myself at a table, and stayed there for 22 hours, losing in all 15,000 guineas to the Duke of Northumbria.
15,000?
More.
Sir, I'm about to be struck by the vapors.
I was offered a chance to win back my money by doubling the stake. Not with cards, not with dice, but with maggots.
Maggots.
Imagine the scene.
Yes.
The room thick with smoke.
Yes.
Crammed with every specimen of rogue and reprobate that squanders his life in a London gambling house. Greenhorns, Jews, journeymen, even Welsh attorneys. There hadn't been such excitement since the Chancellor of the Exchequer played a one-eyed cabinet maker at Ombre, waged his wife, and lost. I stood to forfeit, sir, 30,000 guineas if my maggot failed to win the race.
And what happened?
I lost by half a length. I stood up, accused the Duke of stimulating his animal with snuff, at which point he threw down his gloves and challenged me to a duel.
Oh, sir.
We met at dawn the next day, and in Hyde Park engaged in mortal combat.
And?
I shot him in the heart.
No.
I ran up here to my father in disgrace, and I've been paying the price ever since. But I tell you, sir, I can't stand it any longer. I intend escaping these country idiots, and you, Mr. Babelwick, are going to help me.
Me, sir?
You, sir.
Well, yes, if I can assist in any way, I am, of course, your meek and humble servant here to command, but...
Tell me, do you like London?
London?
Do you long to escape this provincial graveyard and get back to the land of the living?
Well, no, sir, I do not.
Oh, good.
It seems to me the people of London care for nobody but who they can gain by.
Absolutely.
In fact, I would say London is the national source for all luxury and vice.
Yes, yes.
Here in the country, I can breathe a clean, elastic, salutary air. There, I am oppressed by an atmosphere thick with fecal and sweat.
Just what I wanted to hear.
In fact, what really disgusts me about our capital is that every window one passes is a constant, interminable stream discharging all manner of toothpicks, tobacco quids, spittle, and snot. I have to tell you, sir, that I hate London. I abhor its stink. I loathe its noise. And I curse the hectic carelessness of its fast and frenzied people. I don't like London, no.
This means that you won't be standing for Parliament.
What?
I think I'm right in saying that it's long been the tradition of your family to send one of its sons to the Commons, and that your uncle was the member for this county when he died.
What of it?
Well, haven't you heard? There's to be a general election. And that, Mr. Babblewick, is the way I'm going to escape back to London. I'm going to take your place and stand as Member of Parliament for Yorkshire.
There you are, sir. It really was quite inconsiderate of you, Squire.
Yes.
Your Molly cooked the most delicious October orange pudding. And I should think it's gone quite cold. As cold as this bath.
Mm.
You should have told us you were going to dine in some lowly village alehouse.
Augustus, what's this smell?
Ah, I've spiced up your water with a little volatile oil, sir. In fact, I used this very blend of quintessences when you had your last bath in London. I call it my tint à la citron.
Ah, yes.
Had we remained in Pall Mall, I believe your next attempt at successful manufacture was to be lemon soup for the needy.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Sir, you're chewing your tongue.
Mm.
Which means you're pondering.
It's just, I don't think I can let him do it, Augustus.
Squire?
George Berridge. He wants to take away my birthright.
Your birthright?
And by heaven, man, I'm not... I can't let him do it. Augustus, this could be the perfect opportunity for me to make a name for myself.
What are you talking about?
There's going to be a general election, and damn it, I'm going to be the one to stand.
Well, at least we have your rule.
Sorry, Squire, I was just...
Your eyes, woman.
Molly Biddle, you're looking at what I hope will prove to be this country's most prominent and distinguished member.
Oh, sir.
I beg your pardon.
I am sorry to visit you with such bad news, but I've decided to carry on my family's time-honored tradition and take up my place in the Commons.
What?
I appreciate the news will disappoint you. But when I contemplate, sir, the opportunity a place in Westminster will afford me to carry out my reforms...
What are you talking about, man? What reform?
I will initiate an Act of Parliament which will secure my place in the history books as this century's greatest champion of progress and philanthropy.
And what, sir, will this Act provide?
Free soap.
You're a lunatic.
If the masses are to starve, then let them at least die with the scent of Fenton Babblewick's transparent lemon and lard soap on their fingertips.
So that's why you have a reputation, Mr. Babblewick, for nurturing change. That's why you lower your rents and teach your servants cricket. Good God, man! You're not a Whig, you're a radical. Worse still, you're a damned enthusiast.
Exactly.
You're no better than that most despicable of all dissenting breeds, a field preacher.
Thank you.
And you have the effrontery to visit Grimsdale House, to march into my rooms in your 3-shilling top boots, dressed like your own cobbler, and you, nothing more than a 600-a-year make-believe squire.
Make-believe?
Yes. You're a joke in these parts, man. The name of Fenton Babblewick is now deemed funnier than the name of Byron Bumrunny. Your family's long been synonymous for all manner of bewilderment and muddle.
Don't
we all know how your mad uncle was found naked trying to abuse a hollow tree?
Sir, please.
And you have the gall to tell me, a man of my standing, that I can't stand at the general election. Well, very well. If you want a contest, Mr. Babblewick, you shall have one.
What?
If you want to battle this out, then so be it. We shall both stand.
You mean present the electorate with more than one candidate?
Yes.
Give them a choice?
Exactly.
But, sir, you'll confuse them.
I don't care.
This seat has never been contested. A Babblewick has represented Yorkshire for over 100 years. Think of the expense.
What expense?
Expense?
Oh, Mr. Babblewick, I beg of you, please, look at me. Look at me. The son of an earl down on his knees.
No.
Imploring you to let me stand. Then get up. I appeal to you. I can't bear another day away from London. I swear if I can't get to Westminster, then I'll away to Bedlam. You said you hate London.
Indeed.
But then why are you vexing me in this way? Why?
I will be living in London, Mr. Berridge. As soon as I've fulfilled my annual duties as great reformer, I'll be jumping on the nearest coach box and making my way back to the serenity and calm of my estate.
I won't let you do it, you hear me?
Let go of my throat. Good sir, please.
I won't let you do it. I'll kill you if I have to. I'll tell everyone you're insane.
Worse, I'll claim you're a Catholic. No one will believe you.
Then I'll kill you now. Please, please. No one stands in the way of George Gogney buried and lives to tell the tale. Least of all a make-believe squire.
Mr. Babblewick? Mr. Babblewick? Are you alive?
I'm not sure. The room. It's a pity.
What are we to do, Mr. Babblewick? How can we resolve this deadlock, this hopeless entanglement?
Could you help me up?
Yes, of course, yes.
Wait! Oh, sir, no, not again!
I have it! I'll tell you how to resolve this battle royal.
Oh,
we'll play at cards.
Oh, I don't play cards.
And then we'll play at backgammon with a side bet of 30 guineas.
Oh, no.
We'll toss a coin.
No.
Race maggot.
No.
Then, good God, man, how are we going to solve this?
I'm sorry, but I don't believe in tossing anything of value ever since losing my little toy whistle at cribbage.
Ah, what? I have it. Mr. Babblewick, I know just the thing to settle this dispute.
Yes, exactly.
Do you want us all to play a cricket?
On the village green. This afternoon, my servants against his servants. The winner goes to Parliament.
But I've already got one swollen eye, Squire.
And I hurt me hand.
And you can't expect me to run about, Squire. Not in my heels.
I'll show this, Mr. Bennett. There's more to Babblewick than bewilderment and muddle. Molly,
yeah?
Boil them up a little effluvia of beef. They're going to need it.
I'm not playing.
Nor am I.
Running about for all to gawp at. The very idea.
You're going to do as you're told, the lot of you.
Well,
you're
not.
Think about what the Squire's just said. I'd have thought you'd have wanted him to go to Parliament.
Eh?
If the Squire gets elected, he'll have to visit London, which means you're left on your own, Jack won't have to do any work, and Mr. Sniper gets to visit his beloved Piccadilly Circus.
Ah, she's right. She is right. I won't have to feed the horses all the time.
You don't now.
And I'll... I'll be able to eat proper food.
You are?
I can go to the Kit Kat Club and sip chocolate with my old friend Quentin Hedge. I wonder if he still wears his hair in a bag.
Mr. Snipe?
And I'll be able to walk on carpets, sit on a cushioned chair, and all for one game of cricket! I'll go pig-sticking if he wants me to. I'll even box the great Daniel Mendoza. I'm coming, Squire!
It's all right, sir. I've shelled off the bonds, good eye.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Babblewick.
Yes, sir. And this is my team.
Sir?
Really the best you could do.
Please, sir, I've had quite enough of your insults. Thank you.
Well, I would ask you to give your attentions to my team.
Yes. Where is your team?
There.
Where? Behind that tree?
Oh, no, Mr. Babblewick. That isn't a tree. That is my team, sir. My one-man team.
What?
That is Robert McStay, my father's head blacksmith.
Come on.
Oh, my God, a Scotchman.
Are you ready, Robert?
Yes, come on, give it here.
Oh, no.
No, don't worry, man. If there's only one of them, then... Augustus?
Sorry, Squire.
What are you doing?
We're not playing against him. He's too big.
Come back now. I said come back.
Strike the ball, Robert.
Yes. Remember, Barney, when Robert hits the ball, you and the others must catch it.
You've got to be joking.
Barney, what are you wearing?
The pruning gloves.
Jack,
Squire,
stay behind the wicket, and if you get hold of the ball, push it through the popping hole.
If you say so.
Well, come on, Augustus, what are you waiting for?
We're ready for you to throw the ball.
Oh, yes, of course, uh-huh.
Good luck, Robert.
Well, come on.
What are you waiting for, man?
It's just... I'm sorry, it's just I have a question, Squire.
What?
What am I throwing the ball at, exactly?
I've already told you.
The wicket, man, the wicket. That's impossible. It only has two thin little sticks.
Stumps.
Why are there only two? Why are they so far apart?
Because that's the rules of the game.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better... And I suggest this, of course, with all due deference and humility.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be better if there were perhaps, three stumps?
No.
And they were all a little closer together?
No.
And then we could balance two little, what you might call them, I don't know, woodeny bits on the top so that...
And throw that ball now, or I'll have you shot. Do you hear me?
It was merely a suggestion.
Go 1, 2, 3, and throw it.
Very well, Squire. I won't run in case the wind ruffles my hair.
And I do have to tell everyone that my embroidered waistcoat will restrict my arm somewhat.
Get on with it!
Oh, very well.
Here it comes, Robert.
Two.
That's it, Augustus.
And three. Oh.
Hit it, Robert.
Catch it, everyone! Catch it!
Great strike, man!
Did you steady catch it?
But where's he gone?
It'll come down your side, Jack!
You can't see it!
What?
It went straight up like a cannonball!
Let's hear it down!
And it doesn't look as if it's coming down!
Look! Look, there it is!
Where?
Yes, it's coming down! I see it! Here it comes! Hit it!
Squire! Are you all right?
Did it hit me on the head?
I'm afraid it did.
Squire? Oh, no.
Please, Mr. Babblewick.
Squire, please. Sir, say something.
Mr. Babblewick?
He's dead. Oh, no.
Mr. Babblewick, sir, are you alive?
Yes.
Oh.
Then get up, man. Don't just lie there like a stunned rabbit.
Mr. Berridge, I think I've had about enough from you.
I'm sorry.
Help me up, Augustus.
Oh, thank God you stopped with the Squire.
Yeah. Mr. Berridge, you have no right to make me suffer in this way.
What are you talking about?
Since making my acquaintance, sir, you have done nothing but abuse me. Throttle me, and now I have to tell you, being struck on the head by a cricket ball is a final indignity.
I see.
Squire,
please. You may well be my superior in society. You may well be the son of an earl. But you've no right to deprive me of my rightful place in politics. I take this glove. Augustus, give me a glove.
Sir, you don't know what you're doing.
Burn it!
You want this?
I take this pruning glove, Mr. Berridge.
No.
And I strike your cheek thus.
Ooh.
And call you a cur. I strike your other cheek thus. Ooh. And call you a scoundrel. And for good measure, strike your nose thus. Ooh. And call you a knave and a villain.
Mr. Fetch, I beseech you, ignore him.
Please. You dare.
He's still dazed.
Did you see that, Robert?
He's
lost his wits. You only have to see his squint and the color of his tongue.
You dare to mock me in public and strike my face with nothing more than an old pruning glove?
I do.
And with no hint of apology?
I would sooner, sir, pardon a French whore after she plagued me with the pox.
Mr. Babblewick. Mr. Babblewick, I congratulate you, sir, on your fighting spirit. I'm almost tempted to take back all I've said. That's the way we'll settle this feud. Why play at cricket when we could be shooting at each other, eh? What? We'll make it 20 pace pistol, sir, at dawn in the meadow by Wimsey's Brook.
Augustus, I don't want to die.
Which is why we're dressing you in armor, sir.
It won't work.
Of course it will, Squire.
Here's the knee piece, Mr. Snipe.
Thank you. Barney, if the Squire is in his arms, you can fit the breastplate.
Right.
This won't work.
Do you have a better idea, do you, sir?
No.
Barney, tie the breastplate.
Oh, Squire.
If you could only see yourself.
I'd rather not. Not so tight, Barney.
Sorry.
Standing there in the family armor, in such a panoply of plate, Squire. You look the very picture of chivalry and valor. A veritable Lancelot.
It looks a right cabbage to me.
Thank you, Jack.
I'm finished.
Now, Squire, this is our plan.
It won't work.
You're to wear this armor for the duel.
Everyone will see it.
Then you'll wear your cloak.
Well, everyone will hear it.
In which case, see if you can walk to the door and back, Squire, without making a noise.
Oh, very well. Here goes.
Right. Now, come back and try to be quieter.
Any other wonderful ideas, Augustus? Oh, my God. Augustus, where are you?
Yes, sir.
Why are there so many people?
It's like a hanging, Squire. What? The vulgar always love a good death.
That's it, I'm going.
Mr. Babelwick.
Can't we at least go back for some of that armor?
Too late.
Mr. Babelwick.
Mr. Berridge, Yes, yes, sir. Yes, yes, nothing like a good wager, battle to start off the day.
Is your pistol primed, sir?
Oh, it is.
Your arm steady?
As a rock.
Then let's begin.
Yes, yes. Why not?
Mr. Dribb.
Sir?
You volunteer to control the proceedings?
I have indeed. And may I say to everyone that once Mr. Babelwick's been shot...
What?
I'll be offering free buck beer to the winner.
Whoa!
Oh, yes. I invite you all to come to Dribb's Inn, where you'll receive a most hearty welcome and be offered Welsh rabbit at tuppence...
Mr. Dribb.
Pork chops at ninepence... Whoa! And the most delicious cooked eggs with bacon for a shilling.
Whoa! Mr. Dribb, can we please proceed?
Oh, yes, of course. Drummer! Will the two adversaries meet here, please?
Augustus, what am I going to do? I'm too young to die.
You're 46 now.
No, I'm not.
Mr. Babelwick, are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes.
We're fighting according to the rules of Clonmel. 10 paces only.
Ten paces?
Then turn and fire.
Very good.
Very good. Yes.
Back to back, gentlemen, if you please. Drummer! One, two, three.
Good luck, Squire.
Four, five, six, seven.
Goodbye, Squire.
Thank you, Jack. 9, 10.
Done, Squire, done. Oh.
Squire. Squire, are you all right?
Yes. Yes. I think so. Where's Berridge?
Mr. Berridge is dead.
Oh, he's dead, sir.
Dead?
You shot him.
You mean, surely I didn't. But I'm a Babelwick. A Babelwick never wins.
The winner is Mr. Fenton George Obadiah Babelwick, Squire of Babelwick Hall.
Oh, well done, sir. Oh, well done indeed. I'm still alive.
Listen to me, all of you, listen to me, you dismal Yorkshire wretches. I've been saved, and I must tell you that I have been saved for a purpose. After I am elected as your Member of Parliament, I give you my word, your sorry lives will be transformed. I promise a Sunday school in every village. I pledge a foundling hospital in every town.
Babelwick Hall starred Nicholas de Prevost as...
Fenton Babelwick.
And Bob Masson as...
Augustus Knight.
With Sam Kelly, Gillian Bevan, David Antrobus, Jeremy Clyde and John Badley. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. Babelwick Hall is written by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.